Fascinating discussion tonight with Sean David Morton, the intuitive psychic. He took a look at Mars, saw the face on Mars, saw an incredible civilization there millions of years ago. I can believe that. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take your phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. In your remote viewing of, let's say, Mars, Sean, did you ever see inhabitants, beings there, or just structures?
Gosh, one of the most interesting questions that the Japanese asked, and once again, this was all done completely blind. They put them in a series of envelopes, and all I ever saw was they just gave me, how remote viewing works is obviously they give you a series of coordinates. Usually it's like 2748 Aqua or Omega or something like that. So just with those words, you then tap into what's going on. The thing I was viewing was they gave me a coordinate, and suddenly I found myself underground, and I was in what appeared to be a huge museum, as I described it. And the museum had these different types of devices with antennas and that I said looked like some kind of spacecraft, and there were certain things that looked like, I said they looked like communication satellites in some kind of big underground museum. And it actually turned out that the question that they asked was there had just been a Mars probe that had disappeared. And they said, and their question was, what happened to this particular Mars probe? And that was the question. And I saw this, what I actually viewed was, underground, it was almost like these the Martians were keeping them as souvenirs of things that they didn't want to have see the rest of the planet. But the I think the most amazing thing was probably being able to go up and down and remote view and go in and out of these various pyramids, and the whole Cydonia site was fantastic. And then of course once I hit Cydonia, them saying, well, you know, go back 5 million years and see if there was anything there, and there did seem to be a an amazing, flourishing civilization with people that were very tall and very, very pale, with very large, distended-looking heads. But you know, not just pale, but like whitish skin, like a cloud white sort of color to the skin.
Would they have frightened you if you had seen them in the true flesh, so to speak?
They were unusual looking. They were not monstrous at all, but they were certainly. Certainly not what you would expect. And
fascinating.
And so that was I think one of the more interesting viewings. I should probably get the article out and talk to you about it.
I'd love to see that
at some point in the future, and get the translation out and see all the different things that we saw, because it was it was a great thing. And in the same article, as I said, they interviewed Richard as well, and it was a lot of fun. Moo magazine out in Japan is like the number one magazine in Japan and Asia for the bizarre and the unusual and metaphysical and UFOs, and I've had a very good relationship with guys like Charles Yahweh out there, who ran a show called UFO, which is like one of the top big shows in Japan, and they have a lot of money to travel all around the world and get some very, very good stories.
Fascinating. To the phones we go. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. Hi,
yeah.
Sean.
Hi, who's this?
This is Celinda, and I'm in Huntington Beach.
Oh, yeah, you're my neighbor, practically.
You betcha. And I'm just curious about something. You have predicted some pretty heavy Earth stuff. I've got a lot of friends up in Montana, up in the Bozeman-Livingston area.
Mm-hmm.
And with Yellowstone sitting at their back door, I'm wondering what's going to happen up in that area.
Gosh, it seems like every time I come on the show and talk to George, we talk about Yellowstone, and again, I've just never really picked up a huge hit on it.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, well, I remember.
A great thing.
I think my prediction of Yellowstone was that we saw there was a period of time over about 2 years, I think, George, that you saw the caldera went up like 16 feet, I think it was.
Yeah, it went up. Sylvia Brown said about a year and a half, 2 years ago, it was going to blow then. But it hasn't.
No, and I've never said that. What I said was that I saw that this bubble was going to go up, and then slowly parts of this thing were going to start to collapse, and that you would see the release of toxic gases that would come out from this, And then you had some reports, actually, from Yellowstone of the mysterious deaths of whole herds of bison and elk. And the Park Service was trying to explain it away, saying that they were suddenly eating poison lichen and, you know, just nonsensical stories. But, you know, so far my prediction on Yellowstone has been dead on that, you know, I saw the caldera beginning to rise, but then I saw it just starting to collapse back in on itself with, you know, with no gigantic explosion. And that's really good news because the four horsemen of the American apocalypse would be the rupturing of the New Madrid Fault, which I've seen happening twice, actually, in 2011 and then again in 2012.
Gosh, that's by St. Louis, too.
St. Louis running up St. Louis and running through Nashville. And there was that one year in the Super Bowl where you had the Titans versus the Rams, and both cities were right on top of the New Madrid Fault.
Yeah.
And you're starting to see activations of the New Madrid Fault in places like Cleveland, around St. Louis, those areas. But the Yellowstone Caldera, the New Madrid Fault, Mount Rainier, and actually the entire Pacific Cascade region, and then the San Andreas Fault. So my timeline of this is you'll see a very substantial earthquake in Los Angeles approximately 2010 or so. At some point when in Los Angeles they build this Angel Tower and there's some kind of international gathering at that time, between 2011 and 2012, you're going to see a major rupturing of the New Madrid Fault, which will widen out the Mississippi River. I do believe that there's going to be a meteor at that time, some kind of asteroid that is a big chunk that breaks up into nine smaller chunks, and we have three of those chunks that actually hit the western part of the United States, which then will exacerbate the things that are going on with Yellowstone and also with Mount Rainier. And again, remember too that the big challenge with Rainier is that Rainier doesn't really have to really erupt. There's lahars that can actually come oozing down the side of that mountain, and there's 25 to 30,000 people built literally living in the lava flows that, you know, even with substantial notice could not get out of the way in time. And the weak side of Mount Rainier also faces it faces Seattle, and the fact that you are now seeing earthquakes many miles down in the 7 to 8 range or so, working their way up, just doesn't bode well for the city at all. But I don't have a time frame for Rainier, and I've been wrong on when I felt Rainier's eruption was going to happen a number of times. So I can't really be an expert on Rainier now because it's just I don't know when it's going to happen.
Or sports scores.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry.
Let me personally apologize for that because, again, when you have a gift for prophecy,
too close to it. Sean.
Well, I felt that I should take my lumps because it was I really felt that it was an abuse of my gifts. It was not something that I should have talked about. And yes, I'm a big USC fan. And in July, you can go back and listen to the tape. I did say it was going to be USC and Texas in the national championship game, but. You're right. You never let the psychic bet the money, because if you have an emotional involvement in something, it just completely blows you out. Plus, Melissa was the one that was saying that Texas was going to win, and I was gonna kick her out of the house because she had a bad feeling about it. But you'll see. I'm hoping that this year, I think the team's going to be good this year. And just my personal opinion is that I think we'll see USC and I think Ohio State.
Oh, don't even go there.
I'm not even going there. I won't go there now.
To the phones we go, east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast on the Air with Sean David Morton. Hi there.
Hey, Nighthawk. This is Gary calling you from St. Louis, St. Charles County.
I remember your voice, Gary. How are you?
I'm doing very well, sir. I had a two-pronged question for Sean. He answered part of one.
Sure.
I was going to ask Sean, first of all, about the New Madrid Fault, and you partially answered that. Do you think it will affect the Ozarks? And the second question was, a few years ago, I've listened to you for a lot of years. Were you the one that was talking about you went to a casino one time, and the one thing that one person you could not win against in 21 was a dealer, a female that was a redhead?
Oh.
was that you?
Yeah, that was me.
aren't the redheads wonderful, John? Really,
I love them, but you don't bet against them. They're just they'll kill you every time. It's one of those superstitions, one of those gambling superstitions that when you're gambling or spending money that red-haired women are bad luck because, well, they're good luck for them, but bad luck for you.
It's well, one of those really, things where, I've been there, done that.
Yeah, lucky, you know, if you're lucky at cards, you're unlucky at love, those sort of things. And just one of the things I've noticed, and this is just me personally, and I've noticed that I try never to play against redheads specifically because I just think that they're good luck and they're great people. You just don't want to bet against them. I always find that for me, if you're going to play cards, that you should play against men because men are, they've got an energy that is naturally, how can I say, the energy flows out of men. Men are usually naturally a little bit more generous because simply the electric nature of males allows energy to flow outwards. One of the things that I also noticed too is when I go to a casino and I'm doing particularly well in a casino, not only do they rotate dealers on you like every five or six hands, but you know, there's a massive majority of Asian dealers now in casinos who are simply exceptionally good at this. And that's another one of the things that if I go into a casino, I try to not bet against an Asian dealer specifically. I don't know why, but I think it's because the Asian culture has they have an entirely different view of gambling than we do in say,
absolutely,
a Judeo-Christian culture where there's an inbred guilt to it that simply doesn't exist in Asia. They're just raised on gambling everywhere in Japan or everywhere you go in Asia. There's gambling houses, and there's not a stigma on it like there is here. And just one of the things that I noticed is that when you go up against redheads or specifically Asian dealers, they just seem to, you know, kick me all over the place and take all my money, and then I'm very sad.
Well, Sean, I just wanted to tell you that I'm a big fan of yours and of George's, obviously. I've listened to him for a long time. And, yes, I'm a truck driver, but George, sad to say, my boss wouldn't let me have an air horn in this truck. I won't say why.
All right, I understand. Thanks.
God bless you.
Okay,
thank you very much, guys.
All right, Gary, he's a good man. He used to listen to my local show in St. Louis, Sean.
Uh-huh.
Hey, by the way, my lovely ex was a redhead, by the way. You're absolutely correct.
Well, I got one, too.
Yep.
Yeah, Melissa's a redhead. They're great. They're the best women ever.
They're super.
Just don't gamble against them.
Yeah, that was
take your money.
Could have been my problem. Wildcard line, not gambling, but against them. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, Sean.
Hi.
Hey, Sean. I love you. This is Bambi. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks. Hi.
Hey, I just moved to California, and I'm worried about the quakes here. I want to know where it's safe. I live by the beach here.
And whereabouts?
I live like in Newport Beach.
Okay.
Again, the two major quakes that I talked about specifically and the major quakes that I predicted were specifically Northridge in 1994, which I called, and 2010. And actually, if it happens the way I'm viewing it to happen, whatever happens out in the bay, and it's not really the quake that we have to worry about. It's a wave that's actually created within the Santa Monica Bay that seems to create a kind of a tsunami-like effect that washes into Los Angeles. You know, it is a challenge. Actually, in the future, it's called the Hermosa Quake because whatever it happens, and I live in Hermosa Beach, so it just happens not too far out from where I am, where there is like a fault line in the bay. Again, large earthquakes like this, there is not a single religion on the planet, not Buddhism or Christianity or Judaism or Baha'i or Zoroastrianism or Hinduism, that doesn't believe that the way you act and the way you behave towards others, that if you're kind, if you're polite, if you're gracious, if you're loving, that if you spread that out to the community, that those emotions don't have an effect on the land upon which you live. And that if you bring spirit and joy and peace to your location and meet up with other people who can say prayers to do that, anything can be averted. And at the same time, your reaction to a disaster, let's say, and it is human reaction to a disaster, can mitigate the effects of the disaster. The classic example would be, say, 9/11. People in New York City became a beacon, became a light of hope for the rest of the world, because they banded together in brotherhood and love to be able to help each other when that disaster occurred, and that mitigated the circumstances, as opposed to, let's say, they rioted and tore apart the city when the police and the firemen were overloaded. So, again, our response to any sort of natural disaster is is just as important as what happens with the disaster itself. But as far as you down in there in Newport Beach, as I said, Los Angeles will be a relatively safe place. There's not going to be any major earthquakes. And even then, if we're talking about a quake in 2010, we're not talking about the big swim where, you know, California breaks up or falls into the ocean. I've never been a person who said that. I've never been a person that's believed that California is going to break off and take the big swim. I mean, that may happen maybe 50 years from now, but in the near direct future right now, if we live through, say, another Northridge-type event in 2010, I guess we'd be considered lucky.
What do you think of Edgar Cayce's map of the United States, map?
Edgar Cayce, you know, Edgar's map from about 1943, I think it was, of which, I mean, so many people have copied that particular map. The I Am America map is a version of that, and Gordon Scallion's map is a version of that. Again, let me quote Edgar Cayce for you, where Edgar Cayce talked about mind being the builder. Edgar Cayce in 1932 predicted that there would be a massive earthquake that would wipe out the city of San Francisco in 1936. The closer they got to that particular event, Edgar Cayce in 1936, when he was called on that prediction, claimed that his spiritual intelligences had told them that because the people of San Francisco had come together in a spirit of accomplishment, joy, peace, and love, and built the Golden Gate Bridge as a symbol of, remember, this was the height of the Depression as well, as a symbol to the rest of the nation that their consciousness managed to change that prediction, and therefore he called off his prediction for a massive earthquake in 1936. I might also add that, for example, Cayce said that we would have a shifting of the poles between 1998 and 2000. Well, we did, but the shifting of the poles was there's actually three north poles, and the shifting of the poles is only something like 4 degrees. I am a firm believer, George, and you know this from our talking about this, that if there wasn't some way to change prophecy via human consciousness, via the grace of God and the Creator, that there's no reason for me to be doing this. I mean, there's no reason for me to stand up here and say certain things are going to happen. It is my job to forewarn so people can be forearmed. And if prophecy could not be changed, then there's absolutely no reason to jump up and down and talk about it. I might as well just buy a box of Cheerios and a bunch of guns and go live in a cabin in Montana with Al Gore somewhere.
Wait a minute. Steve Quayle does that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's it's one of those things that prophecy can be changed. And I believe that the harmonic convergence
Was it 97, 98?
No. It was the harmonic convergence. Oh, I'm so stupid. It was 87. I'm sorry. It was August of 87. And then the harmonic concordance, which then happened in November of 2003. And we have another, by the way, according to the Mayan calendar, another harmonic convergence is coming up May 27th, 28th, and 29th of 2010. And the prophecy was, again, that if 144,000 people could greet the dawn in peace and love on those 3 days, that all the way back in 1987, that all of the prophecies of the Mayan and all these prophecies of great disaster could be pulled down by a factor of 10. And I think that's what's happening with Edgar Cayce's prophecies. I think we're seeing the fulfillment of the prophecies, but nowhere near the cataclysmic nature that Cayce saw. So whereas we may have had a catastrophic earthquake in California in 2010, that earthquake has now been pulled back substantially in magnitude, and it may not be as disastrous as it may have once was, once again due to the changing and shifting of human consciousness and its direct effect on the living planet upon which we exist.
We'll be back with final questions for Sean David Morton in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, Michael Cremo, our guest, Forbidden Archaeology. We're going to discuss his latest research into the history of man. He believes humankind was on this planet millions and millions of years ago. So I'm looking forward to talking with Michael Cremo right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We'll go to final phone calls with Sean David Morton. Sean, before we do that, tell us a little bit about your first international espionage thriller and also the newsletter, if you would, sir.
Oh, thank you. Okay, first off, the newsletter. Our deal for Coast to Coast listeners is we'll give you 13 issues for the price of 12, which includes the financial update newsletter, which is a big 20-pager. That's issue 117. It's $65 for a regular one-year 12-issue subscription and $48 for seniors. And we also have an online PDF version of the newsletter as well. Most people who get the PDF version of the newsletter also actually switch back to the print version of it because they just like having the magazine around. You can go to the website, DelphiAssociates.org, www.DelphiAssociates.org, or you can call 888-452-7999. That's 888-452-7999, and operators are standing by. The newsletter you have to have today because it tells you all about tomorrow. The book that's coming out is called Black Seraph. It's a Father Dominic Lindquist adventure. It's the story of a Jesuit priest who actually works as a spy for the Vatican, and about a cabal inside the Vatican that is working with a former group of Nazis to develop a genetically specific gene bomb, and my character goes rogue inside the becoming one of the most deadly assassins in the world. He actually goes rogue to get his hands on this this weapon, which Arab terrorists working with these former Nazis are trying to explode inside Israel, a genetically engineered weapon once again to basically just wipe the Jews out of Israel. And it's a fantastic adventure that involves running gun battles in the streets of Istanbul to the back streets of Paris. And it's my first novel, and we've already written a screenplay for it. And there's always been already been some interest from Pierce Brosnan about actually playing the Father Lindquist character. So that's actually going to come out at the printers now, and it should be out right after Labor Day. So it's Black Seraph, and I hope people will pick it up.
All right, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Back to the phones we go. Wildcard Line, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George, Sean, good morning. John Van Nuys.
Hi, John.
Hey, I'm a nobody, but...
Yes, you are.
No, I mean, it comes out, but I've had a pretty good percentage when it comes to predicting things. The best one I did was when Clinton was inaugurated. That same day, I told about 50 people that he was going to be impeached, and sure enough, he was.
Now, was that a gut feeling, guess?
No, it was a gut feeling. It's more instinctive, I think.
Huh.
And I've been doing it. My grandfather worked the Black Dahlia case. He's the one who found the body first, and before he left, I said, "Oh, but she's going to be cut in half." Sure enough, she was cut in half. That's when I was 8 years old. I'm about 38 right now.
Did you know Bob Keppel at all?
Bob Keppel, the name sounds familiar. They're doing a movie coming out. The Black Guy. Yes.
Okay.
Sure do. What I wanted to ask Sean was, what's his feeling about the latest bombing in Israel? Do you think, or you know, if Hezbollah purposely put those women and children there for propaganda purposes, which is obviously working?
I think the evidence is actually pretty clear that a lot of these mortars are actually being placed by mosques and by schools. And, you know, I think everybody in the whole region is fighting pretty dirty, to tell you the truth.
No, I'm talking about the one where Israel killed 56 people, the uproar now, where Israel has to put the truce on and whatnot. You know, the latest one.
I'm not really going to defend anybody's actions on either side.
I want to know your prediction. What do you think it's going to come out to be?
Maybe I didn't catch the question. I'm sorry. The prediction about what's going to happen here now?
Are they going to figure it out that those people in that apartment building where Israel bombed and killed 60 people?
Yes.
That do you think it's going to find out that they were planted there by Hezbollah purposely for propaganda purposes?
No. Think there's just a whole lot of slaughter going on both sides, and I think it's a very sloppy, messy war, and I think there's a whole lot of civilians that are just in the way, and it's just sadly in the way. And the Lebanese people I've known throughout my life, and when I spent some time in Lebanon, were some of the greatest people I've ever known. And it's just a shame to see a country that was that beautiful and such a jewel of the Middle East just being completely torn apart. And
once again, the UN should have stepped in a long time ago and did something about this.
I know, and do something, and yet. When the Syrians pulled out, we could talk about this all night, but it's just a complete mess, and again, I think the goal here is the biggest thing you have to watch is watch what's going to go on in the Beca Valley, because for 3 years of this program, George, you and I both have talked about that there's some stuff in the caves in the Beca Valley that was specifically moved out of Iraq that was guarded by something like 4,000 Hamas irregulars up in that place. And Syria is going to be the key to this whole thing. One thing we didn't mention about the Bible code is that you have Gog and Magog, which seem to be Russia and Germany moving into that particular area. But you also have Syria in the Bible code at the same time. And another interesting thing about the atomic and Holocaust and World War and Jerusalem is that part of the code talks about a Libyan weapon. So actually, in 1996, I think it was Gaddafi made a statement that all Muslim states should start to arm themselves with atomic weapons. And I just think this whole thing is going to get out of hand. I don't think it's going to get out of hand right now. I think that we're going to see the true Armageddon phase, and this is going to have a lot to do with an economic collapse by November of 2007. I think that's when everything is really just going to hit the fan. And that's the actually November 7th of 2007 is going to be the 1 year of Armageddon, I think, where everything starts. And one last comment on this. It's interesting that when the Jews returned to Zion in 1948, there were various biblical prophecies that talk about a generation passing away. What they don't tell you is that a biblical generation is either 30 years, 40 years, or 70 years. So you had all these prophecy people talking about 1978 being the beginning of this. You had Hal Lindsey and Late Great Planet Earth and the fundamentalist Christians talking about 1988 being the beginning of this. I think that we're going to see the seven-year tribulation phase begin somewhere around 2012, leading up to 70 years after that, which will be approximately 2018. I think that's the far more likely scenario for humanity falling in this hole about 12 years from now.
All right, back to the phones we go. First-time caller line, where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hi, where are you?
Hi, I'm in Sedona, Arizona.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Katie. Say, George, you're the greatest. I've been emailing you lately.
Well, great. Thank you.
I just think you're the best host.
Well,
but hey,
we're all good. We're all different, I guess.
Oh, but you're the best. Say, Sean.
Hi.
Hi. I went to. I actually saw you here in Sedona at Enchantment Resort.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
I do. Yes.
Well, in 2001, I was reading in your newsletter about the Vajra Chronicles.
Yes.
And you had an encapsulated story about the United States breaking into either states, individual states, or regions of states.
Right.
Can you tell us how you see that happening and when?
Okay, once again, the Vajra Chronicles had to do with kind of looking back at our history from approximately the year 2096. And in 1994, I talked about that the United States, Canada, and Mexico were all going to confederate into something called the North American Union. And, of course, now you've seen that prophecy come true. Even the treaties they're talking about now are talking about forming the North American Union, that the U.S., the western part of Canada, and what's left of Mexico after a series of devastating quakes would form a 13 nation-state confederation. And Western Canada is a state, Washington, Oregon, and Idaho are a section called Eden at that time. Utah actually is much larger, and it's actually an area called Kolob. California and Nevada actually confederate into an area called Calneva. Atlanta, Georgia becomes a capital for something called the Southern Alliance. You then have a big section which is actually called the New Jerusalem, which is made up of part of Texas and Oklahoma. So the financial capital of this entire New World system is Omaha, Nebraska by that time. At the same time, there seems to be a global world leader who's kind of like Mother Teresa and the Pope and the Dalai Lama all kind of combined into one person, who's called the Emanuela, and she actually comes to power as being recognized as being truly of the bloodline of Christ, and she takes over a loosely confederated global government sometime in about the year 2039. The flag of the North American Union at that time is the old Gaston flag. It's a yellow flag with a coiled serpent on it that says, "Don't tread on me." We which becomes much more popular during a series of civil wars that are fought inside the United States, once again, sometime in the late 2010s and early 2020s. And that's about, I mean, we could go on for quite some time with that, but that was the makeup of the United States at that time. And apparently in my next life, I'm living somewhere as an architect, somewhere out of an area called New Omaha, Nebraska. And it's very interesting. There's about 1.8 billion people in the world at that particular time. The last great war is actually between the United States and China. In that particular timeline, there was an invasion by the Red Chinese through the Pacific Northwest. The capital, the political capital of the United States, and this was, and he was actually talking about this particular time frame, is actually physically moved from Washington, D.C. after a series of terrorist attacks in Washington, D.C. to Denver, Colorado. And strangely enough, that's in the process of happening now. They're already moving the National Security Agency, the IRS, the Environmental Protection Agency, big chunks of the federal government are actually moving en masse to Colorado. And Colorado is actually the secondary federal capital. So if something was to happen in Washington, D.C., the entire government would basically start over in Denver, Colorado.
Okay, great. Thank you. Appreciate you being part of the program. Couple more moments to go. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi there.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
This is Eric calling from Arizona. Hey, Sean.
Hi, Eric.
Listen, I got a couple quick questions. I think you may have answered some of them. I wanted to ask you about your prediction about going onto the commodity exchange, where we're no longer using dollars, or you said the cash card or the debit card, where we're just exchanging commodities, living in communities. You talked about that with Art.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still feel, and I've got a couple other questions about some predictions you made, do you still feel the Chinese are going to invade around 2015, 2016? And if you could talk a little more about the New Jerusalem area in the center of the United States. And those are some predictions that you had made, and I just wondered if, you know, how much you still hold to those.
No, I still do. It's the timeline's still completely in place. Let me see. The whole barter system that I was talking about was, again, people are living in much more tightly knit communities. Food actually becomes much more the food, water becomes much more the currency of the planet. It's less paper and photon-oriented, if you will. And when you really think about it, I mean, Omaha is where anything that's real is actually being created in the center part of the United States, which is where most of the food for a large part of the planet is actually put together. Chicago is the mercantile exchange, and then, you know, New York, where they trade all the stock market, is just kind of all paper and blips of light and companies and what have you.
When do you think that's going to start?
The Red Chinese invasion? Because, again, remember, these were predictions from back in 1994 when China was not really a military threat. And specifically, what was said at that point was that we would see China begin to rise as a military and economic and political power, that we would see the China begin to expand its stretch its muscles, if you will, into Japan and take over much of Asia and large parts of Australia, and that in the long run, that this final war between the United States and the Chinese happens after a series of earth changes where the Bering Straits actually become a single landmass, and the biblical Armageddon of the kings of the East, the Chinese army of 200 million men, predicted in the Book of Revelation, which is now a reality with the Chinese, actually begins with an invasion of the Pacific Northwest in the United States, in which we kill probably half that force before they even get here. 100 years from now, China is like a big smoking hole in the ground. It's still radioactive. There's still whole parts of the country that can't be inhabited. And as I said, it's the entire thing is fought on something that in the future is known as the Plateau of Judgment, which is on the Red Mountains of Colorado. And that this seems to occur sometime around the year, I think the final battle happens between about 2018 and about 2020. When I say this timeline, again, the timeline of the Vajra Chronicles so far, as far as I can see, has not been altered in any way. Every single prediction of our future history, if you will, has fallen directly into place, including, I might add, Vajra talking about the Islamic Jihad and attacks on Washington, D.C. and New York specifically between the years 2000 and 2006. And he seemed to think that that 2006 was the great turning point for a lot of this. So my major concern is that not only might there be an atomic conflict of some type happening in Jerusalem and Israel, but that we might see that same type of terrorist attack happen at the same time against Washington, D.C. and New York City, which might facilitate actually the physical moving of the Capitol to Denver for security reasons. As far as the New Jerusalem goes, once again, the center part of the New Jerusalem has to do with Texas and Oklahoma, and that with Omaha, Nebraska being a financial center. There has a lot to do with, and this has a lot to do with there's Mormon prophecies as well that talk about Springfield, Missouri as being a great spiritual center. I think they actually make that's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy because mm-hmm. there's a great spiritual community there at that particular time. But that whole center part of the United States becomes an actual state that's actually called the New Jerusalem, and it's part of the 13 nation state confederation that becomes the NAU of what's left of the United States. The United States, the western part of Canada, and then Mexico.
What's the biggest revelation you think we'll find in the next year or two? Anything major here?
The biggest revelation?
On anything, yeah.
Gosh. Wow.
No big secrets, anything like that?
Well, I think
we've got a minute to go, Sean.
All right, the only point that I want to make for everybody out there everywhere is that this is the year of the dissemination of what the Mayans and the Aztecs called the core synthesis. And that core synthesis is that all is one, life has purpose, and that God is love. That if we can understand in our bones that all of us are directly connected together and there is no difference between you and I, and we're all part of this entire system, that life has purpose, that no matter where you are or no matter what's happening to you, that you're exactly where you need to be at the exact moment that you need to be there, and that God is love, that the prima mobile at the center of all creation is an infinite force of love and affection and power, which wants the best for you and everyone and everything around you. And if we can understand those three concepts as a revelation, then we can change time and change the world around us and hopefully change the future for the better.
Very good. Sean David Morton, congratulations on your 55th appearance.
How'd I do?
Very good. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, George.
Take care.
Thank you.
And we'll get you those emails for your wife, okay?
Okay, thanks a lot.
You got it. Sean David Morton. And we write down his predictions. Lex sends them to me, and we just track them. So that's what we shall do. Don't forget Michael Cremo on our next Coast to Coast program. For Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.